أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد والثناء لله رب العالمين، ثم الصلاة والسلام على سيدنا ونبينا وحبيب قلوبنا أبي القاسم المصطفى محمد. وعلى آل بيته الطيبين الطاهرين المعصومين المنتجبين، لا سيما بقية الله في العالمين، روحي وأرواح العالمين لتراب مقدمه الفداء، ولعنة الله على أعدائهم أجمعين من الآن إلى قيام يوم الدين. رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي أمري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقه قولي. Please, for the hastening of the return of our Imam, recite a salawat. Also again tonight, unfortunately, the atrocities in the Gaza Strip are continuing. And we need to remember our brothers and sisters over there. So for those who've deceased, and also for the hastening of, or the stopping of the atrocities there, inshallah, recite a Surah Fatiha. Inshallah. Bismillah ar-Rahman. For those who weren't here yesterday, we were talking about Amr bil Ma'ruf wa Nahy an al Munkar. We explained that the main purpose of the movement of Imam al-Husayn 1400 years ago was the issue of Amr bil Ma'ruf wa Nahy an al Munkar. If you want to summarize that movement, if you want to say what's the core of that movement, what the Imam wanted to achieve was to fulfill his responsibility of Amr bil Ma'ruf wa Nahy an al Munkar, or enjoining good, forbidding evil, telling people what is right and what they need to do, and also what they need to stay away from and what is Munkar. Now, we were talking about the first level of Amr bil Ma'ruf wa Nahy an al Munkar. What do we do? If we want to do Amr bil Ma'ruf wa Nahy an al Munkar, what are we supposed to do? What's the practical application of this lesson that we learn from Imam al Husayn? What do we do? We said if we look at the Risalas, which we said is founded on the Risalas, the Ahkam that we read in the Risala from the Maraja, these are actually based on Ahadith. Okay, and today, inshallah, we're going to read the Hadith on it. But if we look at that, the first level that we see has been mentioned for Amr bil Ma'ruf wa Nahy an Munkar, that no matter what happens, we need to do is internal actually. It's a feeling. Is to love the good. When you see something good going on around you, you should have a good feeling towards that. You should like it. As when you see something wrong going on, some bad action, some haram, one needs to hate that. Let me read you the hadith now. There's a narration that is narrated by an individual by the name of Ubadah ibn As-Samit from our Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. The Holy Prophet says, سَتَكُونُ فِتَنٌ لَا يَسْتَطِيعُ الْمُؤْمِنُ أَنْ يُغَيِّرَ فِيهَا بِيَدٍ وَلَا لِسَانٍ. There's going to be some fitness that will be happening that the mu'min will not be able to do anything in regards to. Neither by words nor by action. Now those two are we're going to be talking about later. We're going to be talking about what are the further stages, mentioning things and then taking action. What does that mean? How are we going to take that today and in this society and apply it? So this is what the Holy Prophet said. Then this individual says, فَقَالَ عَلِيُّ بْنَ أَبِي طَالِبُ عَلَيْهِ الصَّلَاةُ وَالسَّلَامُ. Imam Ali, Amir al-Mu'mineen, at that point, يَا رَسُولَ اللَّهِ فِيهِمْ يَوْمَئِذٍ مُؤْمِنُونَ. At that time, there was going to be so many miseries, so many atrocities, so much wrong going on, so much corruption, the corruption of the religion, that no one can do anything. The Imam says, are they going to be believers at that time? The Holy Prophet says, قال نعم. Yes. قال فينقص ذلك من إيمانهم. Is that going to cause them to decrease and their iman to go down? The Prophet said, no. How is that? The Imam says, يُكْرِهُونَهُ بِقُلُوبِهِمْ. They dislike it in their hearts. What does that tell us? If you see wrong, if you see corruption, if we see people getting killed before us, or we know about it, and we're silent, what's going to happen? We're going to be decreasing in faith. Our faith, the level of faith is going to be going down. The Holy Prophet says, when you can't use your hands or your tongue, your language, to speak against something, the least you have to do is dislike. يُكْرِهُونَهُ فِي قُلُوبِهِمْ. This is how we're supposed to feel, brothers and sisters. The West teaches us otherwise. The teachings that we have in Islam is, when I see someone drinking, I need to hate that action. I'm not supposed to feel good about it. I'm not supposed to be indifferent about it. I'm supposed to dislike that. Any action that's considered haram in Islam, if I see a brother or a sister doing that, I'm not supposed to be indifferent and say, oh, they've got the right to do that. It's okay. I'm not doing it. We mentioned yesterday the hadith that the Ahlul Bayt have told us, if one sees haram and wrong happening and they don't do amr bil ma'ruf wa nahi anil munkar, what's going to be happening? They are going to be considered, and in the book of their actions, it's going to be written that they actually committed that sin. This is the first level of amr bil ma'ruf wa nahi. If I don't have that in my heart, I'm going to be considered one of them. There's actually hadith about this particular point, about the love, this level of amr bil ma'ruf wa nahi anil munkar, and not having that would cause one to be considered one of the sinners. It's a very interesting hadith. It says, if a person is present where sin is being committed, but in their heart they hate that, they dislike it, they're going to be considered someone that's not present there. And I'll explain what that means in a little bit. If they see that sin, they are there, in their heart, they hate it, they dislike it. They're going to be considered one of those that's not there. But sometimes you could not be present there, but you know about it. In your heart, you're indifferent or you're okay with it. If you're okay with it, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, you're going to be written one of those sinners. You're going to be considered as one of those sinners. Now what does it mean that they're going to be considered one of the present or one of those who was present there or one of those who's not present there? It means one of those who participated in that. It's referring to the concept that we mentioned in the Holy Quran yesterday, that when a sin is committed by a people, although a few people may be committing that sin, we mentioned the example of which tribe yesterday? We mentioned the example of Thamud, right? The camel cow getting mixed up thing. It was Thamud. One individual committed the crime, but everybody in the Holy Quran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, the tribe of Thamud did this. Why? Because the others didn't do Amr bin Ma'ruf wa Nahy an. That's what this hadith is talking about. Saying, if you're there, you are present, you see it, but you dislike it in your heart, you're not considered one of them. But if you're not there, and you like it in your heart, and you're okay with it, you're considered one of them, if you know about it. Say salawat, please. I'm going to use that hadith right now for today's application. There is a huge crime going on right now in Palestine, we know. If anyone doesn't feel like in their heart they dislike what's going on out there, according to that hadith, they're one of them. Could be sitting in your home, you're not killing anybody, but if you're indifferent, or you're okay with it, as some like to word it, they have the right to protect themselves against the rockets that are being fired towards them. You know, some people are really good at... I just wonder sometimes how good someone could be in twisting the truth. The Holy Quran tells us that the Jewish people are the best at that. Seriously, that's what the Holy Quran says. It says, يُحَرِّفُونَ الْكَلِمَ عَمْ مَوَاضِعِهِ. Okay, they change the meanings of words. They're always doing that. I got an email, I think yesterday, I checked my email. And there was, this was exactly actually what they had said. That, you know, we're talking about the bombings that are going on, the airstrikes that are going on there in Gaza, and so many people dying there, and women and children and babies getting killed. You know what they were doing? They had this picture of Israeli people with blood all over their face, like, oh, please help us, we're dying, the Palestinians are throwing their rockets and killing us. Like, okay. Look at the scale, I mean, of how many people are dying on this side, and who started it. They don't talk about any of that. If someone doesn't know that, they're going to be completely confused. They just see that, like, oh yeah, let's go give them money. They're the best in twisting the truth. So if we're not there, I'm not in Palestine, I'm not in Gaza, I'm not flying those planes on top of these people to kill them. But if I'm okay with that in my heart, and interestingly, see, the hadith doesn't say that you like it. Okay, it's not like, yeah, I say in my heart, you know, they deserve it. Like some people said yesterday or the day before, I mentioned this. Unfortunately, some people say, yeah, these guys are, you know, they're the enemies of the Ahlul Bayt. It's good, let them get killed. That's not right, brothers and sisters. That's absolutely wrong. because they're not the enemies of the Ahlul Bayt. We can talk about that later on or some other occasion. But anyway, the hadith doesn't say if you see that sin or you know about it, you're not present there, but you like it, you're going to be considered one of them. The hadith says, if you're not present, وَيَرْضَوْنَهُ, but you're okay with it. You're okay with it. Just being okay with it, you're going to be considered one of them. The issue of liking good and disliking evil is a very, very, very important and crucial part of our faith. Let me read a hadith for you. Recite salawat, please. It's got a very authentic chain of narrators. Hadith quotes Fudayl ibn Yasar, a companion of the sixth Imam Salamullah alayh. He says, سألت أبا عبد الله عليه الصلاة والسلام عن الحب والبغض أمن الإيمان هو. Fudayl says, I asked the Imam about love and hate. Does that have anything to do with faith? That's the question that's being asked. Does that have to do anything with faith? Is it about iman, or is it just something that, you know, people have in them? Is it, or does iman in Islam say anything about love and hate? You know what the reply of the Imam is? He says, فقال وهل الإيمان إلا الحب والبغض. Is faith in iman anything but love and hate? If you want to summarize it, one of the ways you can do that, you can say faith means love and hate. And one of the things that the imams used to do, and let me mention something in parentheses about that, is that they would mention the verses that dealt with the question that was being asked. In this case, the Imam recited the seventh verse of Surah Hujurat, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, you know, after mentioning that هَلِ الْإِيمَانِ إِلَّا الْحُبِّ وَالْبُغْضِ, is iman anything but hub, love, and bughd, which means hate. Then the Imam recited this verse, وَحَبَّبَ إِلَيْكُمُ, or لَكِنْ حَبَّبَ إِلَيْكُمُ الْإِيمَانَ وَزَيَّنَهُ فِي قُلُوبِكُمْ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala put the love of faith in your hearts and He made it look good in your eyes. God did this. Okay, this is God's doing. It's attributed in this verse to God. وَكَرَّهَ إِلَيْكُمُ الْكُفْرَ وَالْفُسُوقَ وَالْعِصْيَانِ. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made your hearts such that you dislike kufr, disbelief, wal-fusuq, sins, wal-isyan, in disobedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Recite a salawat, please. That's how important it is. It's God's doing, it's not my doing. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says this, if you have faith, you're going to have love and hate in your heart. If you don't have love and hate in your heart, you don't have faith. That's what it means. Now, let me mention that side point that I wanted to talk about a little bit. The reason why I'm talking about it is, well, let me mention that. The Imam mentions a verse when he wants to explain and give the reply to this companion who's asking a question. I don't know how much you guys are familiar. I need to say this because the movement could be reaching this area as well, and there may be some people starting to follow that. Recite another salawat, please. There's a movement going around in some areas of the world, especially in the UK, I mean out of the Western countries, you can see it in the UK. It's called an Akhbari movement. Ever heard of that? Anybody? Okay. A few people. You may hear about a little more later on. These people have certain ideologies. One of the things that they say is that the Holy Quran is not for us to understand. The Holy Quran was revealed to the Holy Prophet for he himself and the Ahlul Bayt to understand and for them to explain to us what it means. That's one of their ideologies. They say, we don't understand what the Quran says. You can't use the Quran unless the Ahlul Bayt have explained to us what it means. Now this is just a side point. I don't want to open it up too much. Just have that word, that term, akhbaris, okay? And know that that's a no-no. Okay. This hadith tells us that this is not the case. How is that? The hadith says the imam, when he wants to explain it to his companion, okay, when he wants to explain a point, first he says, he gives the answer. The question was about iman or hub and bughd, love and hate. Is that part of faith? The imam says, yes, definitely. Then he mentions a verse just to explain to this companion that this is based on the Holy Quran. Okay. If the Holy Quran is something that people cannot understand and it's not revealed for the people to use, and the imam doing that is useless. Anyhow, we've got some really weird ideologies. Inshallah, we hope that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala guide us all, and especially those people. So, the issue of hub and bughd, love and hate. Loving the wrong deeds and... what did I just say? Loving the good deeds and the iman. Sorry, it's not my fault. It's the jet lag kicking in and feeling a little tired. Allahumma salli ala Muhammad. Loving iman, faith, and good deeds is a very important part of our religion. And hating kufr and wrong deeds is also a very important part of our religion. It is not what they teach here, what they try to teach in words, that no, it's not good to hate. Okay. And let me say right here that this is only in words, brothers and sisters. A human being cannot put aside hate and hatred. Okay. Love and hate is something that we have in us. It's about where you apply it. If you don't apply it in the right place, you're going to start applying it to the wrong place, in the wrong place. Those that say don't hate, what they're referring to is don't hate based on religion. That's what they say. Okay, if you don't hate based on religion, you're going to start hating based on self-interest. If anyone goes against you, if anyone does something that you don't like, if someone takes away something from you, you're going to start hating them. One cannot take away that hatred. That's how the human being is. That's where you get anger, okay? If anyone gets angry, you can say, okay, that person hates something or someone. And I don't know anyone that doesn't get angry at all. You can't. Now I want to move this point, okay, a little further. Not just about actions. You know, actions that people perform, that makes their personality. A human being is what they do. A human being is what they do. If you perform good actions, you become a good person. If you continuously perform wrong deeds and haram, you become a bad person. This is where that person is hated. And this is what I wanted to mention as well. It's not bad to hate an individual. It's not bad at all. It's actually good. When a person has only committed wrong deeds, I mean, how could you hear about what those people did on the plains of Karbala and not hate those people? How could you hear that and not hate them? How could you hear what they did to Amir al-Mu'mineen and not hate those people? Is it right for us to start working on ourselves to take that hatred away from ourselves, from our hearts? No, it's not bad. It's actually good. We're supposed to have that. And that's where all the la'ans come. And we just did Ziyarat Ashura, right? How many times do we have la'an in there? You know what la'an means? What does it mean to curse? Does it mean to use foul language? I remember in a conference, somebody asked that question. It was a conference on unity. And one of the things that was asked there was, okay, if we want to have unity, then is cursing good? Hasn't there been a narration from Amir al-Mu'mineen, Salamullah alayh, that I don't like you to be of the cursers, the people that curse? Unfortunately, in the English language, the word curse has got two meanings, okay? One of them is la'an, the other meaning of the word curse is sab. Sab means to use foul language. Okay. That's what Amir al-Mu'mineen has said in that hadith. That's bad. Okay. Foul language, we're not supposed to use that even towards the enemies of the Ahlul Bayt, much less our own enemies. That's bad. But cursing is actually good. We have it all over our scripture. The Holy Quran. If you don't believe in la'an, you don't believe in the Holy Quran. The Holy Quran has got la'an in it. Okay. Now what is this la'an? What's the concept of la'an? Okay, in parentheses, let me explain. The issue of la'an, and we say God curse someone, Allahumma la'an, which Ziyarat Ashura is full of, that means that we pray that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala takes His mercy off of someone. Don't give them the mercy because they don't deserve it. Recite salawat, please. What do we have to do to have this hate and love in our hearts? There's a level before this that we have to understand. As we said in the West, they try to teach and say you need to... Well, they say a lot of things about Amr al-Ma'ruf that applies to Amr al-Ma'ruf wa Nahi al-Munkar. One of the things is, you know, tolerance that they mention. You got to tolerate everything. Tolerating everything is against Amr al-Ma'ruf. The other thing that they say is about not hating. You don't hate, hating is bad. That also, as we had here, is wrong. But there's another level before loving and hating, and that is, the prerequisite of loving and hating, and having those two, okay, is the pretext that everything isn't right. One of the concepts that exists out here, and people try to rationalize. Some people out in the open, they talk about it, but a lot of times it's not mentioned out in the open and bare like that, is the issue of pluralism. Pluralism means that everything's right. The Muslims are right, the Christians are right, the Jews are right, the Buddhists are right, the Hindus are right, everything is right, there's no wrong. Everyone's on the right page, everyone is going to be prosperous in this life and the hereafter. Recite salawat, please. Allah. this theory has become part of the Western culture. You have to identify that, brothers and sisters. We have to notice where this happens, okay? Where we actually apply this concept of pluralism in day-to-day life, okay? If we don't do that, we're going to have serious problems in our communities. One of the applications of this in our day-to-day lives in like high school and college and stuff is where when people do bad things and wrong deeds, okay, they're being justified as being right as well. One of the things that I need to mention here, for example, and I was shocked to hear that this is actually a problem in some Muslim communities, is the issue of homosexuality. In this country and in the West in general, there's a lot of effort being put, and interestingly, it seems like a lot of it is by the Jews again, I don't know why, what it is, may have some relations with the Qawm of Lut for some reason, but anyway, is to justify the issue of homosexuality. This is based on this principle that they have. No, it's okay. It's not his fault. How could you tell someone that they don't have the right to engage? I mean, everybody has got to get married to the opposite sex. You can't get married to the same sex. Say, oh, it's not his fault or it's not her fault. She doesn't have or he doesn't have any drive towards the opposite sex. For someone that doesn't have any drive towards the opposite sex, so why are they forced to live with the opposite sex? Why can't they just live with the same sex? You know, they talk about it all over the place. And let me just say right now, I heard a whole bunch of stuff and read a whole bunch of stuff about it. And when you read the actual experts that talk about it, okay, the actual experts, not the ones that do all the propaganda and the messy stuff on the media and the talk shows and all of that. And by the way, talk shows, I don't know how far they've gone. I don't know if they're still around or not, because I've been out of the country for about 10 years. But, you know, that's one of the ways that they actually justify things in society and make it a norm in society. Anyway, the actual experts will tell you that they don't even know what is going on with this, with the gene pools and the, you know, the DNA and exactly what it is, which part of it. They'll tell you that that's not really proven scientifically. All the arguments that are being used to say that, yeah, it's natural, it's in their genes, they don't even have a drive, all of that, you know, it's just said in the media. If you actually ask the experts, they'll tell you that hasn't been proven scientifically. It hasn't. If we don't talk about this stuff and we don't talk about what's wrong and say that there are things that are wrong, it's not like whatever you do is okay, then we will arrive at, you know, having homosexual Muslims. We do have it, unfortunately. We do have it. In Europe we do, in Canada we do, in the US we probably have some. This is the danger. So this idea that this is what this person believes, it's okay, let him believe whatever he wants. This is that pluralism. This is the application. You get it all over the place in schools. People are raised with that in these schools. Why do you punish this person, or why do you want to punish that person? Why is there such a severe punishment? You know, one of the worst punishment that we have in Islam for any crime is the homosexual act that is performed by men. Okay, there's a difference between the punishment if it's women or men. Okay, the worst one is for men. You know what the punishment is? Have you read it anywhere? It's one of five things. You burn the guy to death. Okay? You chop off their head. You throw down a wall on them and kill them like that. You throw them down the cliff or off a cliff, or a combination of the four that were mentioned. Okay. It shows you how bad of a crime this is in the eyes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And it's being talked about and justified. No, it's okay, it's okay. And I don't know how you could be Muslim and actually accept that. I mean, all over the Holy Quran, when it talks about the people of Lut, Prophet Lut, okay, the problem that those people had and previously nobody had was this issue. They were committing this sin. And the Prophet tried to stop them. They didn't. And they had God's punishment came. This idea that whatever people believe, it's okay that they can believe in whatever they want. That's based on this issue of pluralism. How is that? Okay. If you look at love and hate, brothers and sisters, as I said, this is something innate. This is not something that we put in ourselves. A lot of things, okay, are not things that we make. We've been given them by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. All the desires that we have, okay, it's not whether you like it or not. Okay, people have got the sexual desire. You've got the desire to eat. You've got loads of desires. Okay, these have been given by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Love and hate are something that we have in our hearts. It's not up to me. But you know what it is, or when do you start hating something, or when do you start loving something? It's when you understand that something is bad or something is good. Bad and good in what sense? In any sense, okay? If you see something is good for you, you love it. Good for you in what way? It tastes great. Okay. You're going to love it. It's good for you, I don't know, it makes you, gives you a lot of money. You're going to love it. This person, he every time I see him, he gives me 500 bucks. Okay, you're going to love that person. It's natural. When you say it's okay if this person believes in this, okay, believes, it's okay, you know, he can believe in God or disbelieve in God. All right? You know why you think, why you're saying it's okay? You don't have to hate the guy if he doesn't believe in God. Okay, purposely and intentionally he's against God. Because you don't consider that bad. If you understand that thing to be bad, you're going to hate it. That's natural. You can't, you don't have a control of it. You can't really consider something extremely bad and control yourself. No, I'm not. It's like, you know, it's like, let me give an example that everyone would understand. Okay, at least the guys would. Okay, it's not like you could see a, I don't know, a really, really nice looking girl on the street, okay, without, you know, the proper clothing, and see that person and say, no, I'm going to control my sexual desire. I'm not going to like, you know, I'm not going to feel sexual about that. No, that's not going to happen, brothers and sisters. And that's why we've got to control our looks. That's why one of the important things, very important, brothers and sisters, controlling the looks. Because it's natural. It's going to lead to other things. It's not something that I can control. I can look at it, oh, it doesn't have any effect on me. Oh, you're trying to fool yourself or you're trying to fool God? It's natural. God has put it there. In the same way, the love and hate issue that we just talked about. If I consider something bad or wrong, I'm going to hate it. If I consider it good, and the more I understand that this is good, the more goodness I understand from it, the more I'm going to love it. That's why the levels of faith come into play. Okay. The people that love, let's say, the Ahlul Bayt, because we talked about, you know, if a person does wrong deeds, you're going to start hating him more. The better they are, you love them more. You know why some people love the Ahlul Bayt more? Because they understand their goodness more. Those are the levels of faith. So this was the first level of Amr bil Ma'ruf wa Nahi anil Munkar. The first thing that we need to have, okay, as soon as we see a wrong deed, whether we can do the next levels that we're going to be talking about, inshallah, in these sessions to come, whether we can do it or not, at least in our hearts, we're going to feel bad about what's going on, if it's a sin. We're going to feel good about what is happening if it's a good deed that's going on. Let me read you another hadith about this, okay? About that, you know, the feeling that one needs to have. In a narration, Amir al-Mu'mineen salamullah alayhi has quoted the Prophet saying, يَأْتِي عَلَى النَّاسِ زَمَانٌ يَذُوبُ فِيهِ قَلْبُ الْمُؤْمِنِ. Said, a time will come. Okay, during that time, the heart of the mu'min is going to be melting. The heart of the mu'min is going to be melting. How is that? It says, كَمَا يَذُوبُ الْأَنْكِ فِي النَّارِ يَعْنِي الرَّصَاصِ وَمَا ذَاكَ إِلَّا لِمَا يَرَى أَنَّ الْبَلَاءَ وَالْأَحْدَاثِ فِي دِينِهِمْ لَا يَسْتَطِيعُ لَهُ غَيْرُ. Because this person, the mu'min, sees a lot of wrong and evil going on around him about his religion, and he can't do anything about it. It says that much hate, the Holy Prophet says that's how passionate you need to feel about the wrong that's going on. It says the heart of the mu'min is melting. If you don't have that in your heart, you got to start thinking, why not? You shouldn't wonder why some people are so passionate when they talk about some of the issues that are going on. For example, this is, you know, I keep mentioning it because this is a example that we can, you know, it's a tangible example that's going on right now. Don't ask why some people are so passionate about what's going on in Gaza. You should ask yourself why you're not passionate if you're not about the issue. If you don't feel that in your heart, then that means you don't feel bad about that. You're not acting according to what the Prophet is saying you need to have in your heart. If we have this love and faith, or this love and hate in our hearts, the reason why it's been mentioned as necessary as part of our faith, the importance of it is, if you hate something, how much would you like to go and do that? If you hate it, okay, I hate this food, or I hate this medicine, or I hate whatever. How much would you want to go and do that? You wouldn't want to do it. If you hate the wrong deeds, if you hate haram, you're not even going to want to perform that action. There's a really interesting story I'll quote to you. The story is of a woman that lived, I think it may have been Kufa. She was very poor, she had some children, she and her husband had died, she was a widow, basically. She didn't have money. She went to this ironsmith or blacksmith and asked for some money. for help, financial help. The guy said, if you want me to help you, you've got to come to my house and we need to have an affair. You want money? You got to work for it, basically. I can't give it to you for free. So she said no and she left. Then the pressure of not having, you know, money and food for the children, a mother, how she feels for her children. She came back. The guy said the same thing. So she said, okay. So the guy took her to his house and he closed the doors. And he saw that when she wants to undress, she is shivering. Okay. The feeling that she had against this sin, that she feels like she has to, but still that hate that she has towards this sin is such that she is shivering. Now, when the guy saw that, it moved him. He realized this faith and the taqwa in this sister. So he said, okay, forget it. He gave her the money without doing that sin. And from then on, he say that the blacksmith, he got this power, or God gave him a sign of how great the action that he did was, that from then on he would actually take the hot metal out of the oven with his own bare hands. He didn't have to use the tools to take that out. We have a better example actually in these days of ours that we're commemorating. The feeling, you know, have you ever thought what caused Hur to change course? What caused him? What happened? He was the first one that stopped Imam al-Hussein from going the direction he was. Came with 1,000 troops. When the Imam was moving from Mecca towards Karb, towards Kufa, and he said, I have orders that not to allow you to go any further towards Kufa. It was Hur. He wasn't very polite towards the Imam either. If it hadn't been for Hur, the Imam would have arrived in Kufa, and it would have been very likely that he would have been able to influence the people and take over that city from Ubaydullah ibn Ziyad. It's because of Hur that the Imam didn't get to go there. But this same Hur, out of all the people that were there on the day of Ashura, he becomes one of the companions of Imam al-Hussein. That the ahadith that we have about the companions who became shaheed with Imam al-Hussein, the status of these people is beyond understanding. What happened? The narrator that talks about when Hur changed his view and went towards the Imam says that, when I saw that, you know, on the day of Ashura, okay, they didn't just start fighting. The Imam went with his companions after Fajr and he started lecturing the people. The Imam, he's an Imam. He's not there to kill. He's there to guide. Okay, he's there to guide. So even at that point, you have 30,000 people that are saying, we're going to kill you. The Imam says, look, I'm not saying this for my own life. I'm going to fight you if you want to fight me. But don't do it, it's bad for you. So he lectured and his companions lectured and all of that. When Hur saw that there's actually going to be a battle, these people are actually going to fight the Imam, that the person who narrates the story says, I saw Hur, he didn't know like what direction to go. He was like shivering and feeling, he wasn't the Hur that we knew before this. Hur was known as, you know, one of the bravest commanders in Kufa. So he looked like a child at that point. Like, didn't know where to go, what to do, you know, shivering and just walking in a direction, just looking around, my God, you know, that type of a feeling. The love in his heart for the truth, because you know, love, he expressed this love for the truth when he was, you know, he met the Imam. The narration say, when he met the Imam and he told him he cannot go, the Imam turned back to him and said, "Thakalatka ummuk." May your mother be mourning for your death. That's what basically means. In other words, may you die. That's what that means. They say Hur at that point did not reply back to the Imam that way. He said, if it had been anyone else, I would have said the same to him. But because your mother is Hazrat Fatima, I'm not going to say that. He had that love in his heart for Hazrat Fatima. True love, not just in words. When you have that, it has an effect on the heart. When the time comes, it comes as an aid. It comes and helps you out. You feel extremely bad inside to do this wrong deed. That feeling bad, because you start feeling guilty, or that, you know, that's hate. You hate yourself for doing something. Don't you say that when you feel guilty? He had that feeling in his heart, which is what caused him to change course and go towards Imam al-Husayn salamullah alayhi. Sallallahu alayka ya Aba Abdillah. Sallallahu alayka ya Aba Abdillah. Sallallahu alayka ya Aba Abdillah. These nights of Muharram, we should remember our Imam and his companions. O Allah, please enable us to be like Hur. Please give us the love of Hazrat Fatima salamullah alayha in our hearts, so that if we decide to do something that is wrong, that would stop us from going on. When Hur on that day, he realized the people are going to be fighting the Imam. He thought about it and he felt bad. He moved towards the Imam. They say he had a sword. He took his sword out and he walked barefooted towards the Imam, looking down. He said to the Imam, "O Imam, I was the first one that stopped you, and I kept you from going to Kufa. I've done this injustice to you. You're my Imam. You have the choice. Either forgive me or kill me for that." The Imam said, "You are Hur, you're a free man like your mother has named you." Hur at that point said, "O Imam, if my tawbah is accepted, then allow me to be, since I was the first one to keep you from going. I was the first one to fight you, let me be the first one that goes and fights for you." So he went and fought a battle, and he was ripped in two pieces. Sallallahu alaykum ya ahl bayt al-nubuwah. As-salamu alayka ya Aba Abdillah. Wa ala al-arwah allati halat bifinaik. Alayka minni salamullah. أبداً ما بقيت وبقي الليل والنهار. Everybody. السلام على الحسين وعلى علي بن الحسين وعلى أولاد الحسين وعلى أصحاب الحسين ورحمة الله وبركاته. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to hasten the return of our Imam. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to enable us to be his companions. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to forgive us all of our sins. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to forgive our parents and all of those who have taught us the word in Islam of their sins. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to relieve the ummah, the Muslim ummah, of all the hardships by the return of our imam. But right now, the people of Gaza to be relieved of the strikes that the Zionists are having against them. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to enable us to practice what the Ahlul Bayt have showed us as the right path. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.